Hello, everybody. Colleen here, just wanting to let you know how grateful I am for all of you. We've been receiving a ton of positive feedback since our debut last week, so we decided to release this bonus episode as a token of our appreciation. This episode is called Spooky Stuff and Paranormal Experiences, and it was recorded with a special guest. So grab your blankies and a flashlight and prepare to travel back in time to October. Enjoy, and thanks again.
You're listening to Air Candy, an uninhibited exploration of topics, ideas, and stories.
This is getting good.
Of course it's getting good. It's been good since we're trying to figure out that echo.
Yeah, right?
Hello, friends, and welcome back to Air Candy, where we like to talk about all sorts of topics, ranging from serious to ridiculous, while sharing our unprofessional opinions and advice. I am your humble host, Colleen, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Seth. And today special guest joining us, our dear old friend, Mr. Sydney Billups.
Hello, y'all. How's it going? Hello, mate.
Hello, hello, governor.
Hello, governor.
So today we've decided that since we're in the month of October, you know, we just had to have an episode where we were talking about spooky stuff and paranormal experiences. And I think we all have some stories to share in that realm, in that vein. And, you know, we are approaching Halloween and all that fun stuff. So I don't know. Do you think we should tell everybody the origins of Halloween, Seth? What do you think?
Well, let's talk about more important things. My raccoon onesie that I'm wearing for the occasion.
Magic.
Yes,
magic.
Yes. He got up, came back, and is in now a head-to-toe onesie raccoon suit, and I absolutely love it.
That's what happens when you don't
jealous.
Have heat in your house. No heat.
Right.
You got to put on a raccoon cap.
Kind of a little bit of comedy, a little bit of necessity, whatever.
There you go. Mm-hmm.
Minus the raccoon the trick. Sounds.
I'm jealous because if I'd known we were dressing up for this episode, then, you know, I would have prepared, but, you know,
all
on
right.
the fly.
In one of these closets, I got a little Christmas onesie. That would have worked out. A little reindeer status.
There you go.
So, yeah, you know what? You're right. I'm going to do my thing. My thing is always to do my professional,
Google machine?
My Google machine, my definition.
Okay.
So, history of Halloween and... For you listeners out there, this is not a Halloween podcast. We're just, since it's Halloween season, we're going to talk about this and we're going to talk about all the spooky and scary stuff. So get ready for a long one. This one is all confused. All right. History of Halloween for people that live under a rock. Halloween or Halloween, a contradiction of Hallow's Even or Hallow's Evening, also known as All Halloween, All Hallow's Eve, or All Saints Eve.
It sounds like a bad English.
It's a
lot. Like an English interpretation. A before I.
I'm suffering through this definition
right now. I
before
L.
I told y'all to be ready for this damn definition.
Yeah. I'm ready.
Go on. Go on.
Is a celebration observed in many countries on 31 October, the eve of the Western Christian feast of All Hallows Day. It begins the three-day observance of All Hallowtide, the name in the liturgical year dedicated to remembering the dead, including saints, which are also called hallows. I learned something new today.
Oh, okay.
Martyrs and all the faithful departed.
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 So basically, this has a lot of meanings. It has nothing to do with candy, nothing to do with costumes.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's
to do
just,
with,
you know,
smashing pumpkins in people's houses, which is the most fun thing to do. But anyway.
There you go.
Eggs and pumpkins. Now, where did it start? Like, is this like a American
pagans.
Holiday? Is this a pagans? Or is it a European kickoff? Or did your Google machine tell you that?
I didn't really go that far.
Okay.
I just kind of looked up the definition. I think that is just, I think it's a European thing. And all these things with all these definitions, these are probably made by different types of people, either
pagans
in the United States or pagans or blah, blah, blah. And All Saints. When the saints come marching in. So, which are called Hallows. I didn't know that. So, All Hallows Eve. So, it's All
Saints.
Saints Eve. So,
so maybe it was originally supposed to be something nice and then turned into something slightly evil.
Well, I think it started getting evil when I think that the pagans started celebrating this. At the,
they start dancing around naked in the woods.
Yeah, exactly.
Like crucible, right?
And then all the capitalists came in and were like, let's feed the children candy.
Yes.
Exactly.
Buy more candy.
And now it's a Hallmark holiday. But surrounding Halloween, October, you know, let's in the United States and a lot of places in the world too, surrounds a lot of stuff that we're going to talk about. Scary movies, spooky things, the paranormal. You know, it encompasses all those things. There's actually a lot of fun stuff going on in this month. I know personally Sid loves Halloween. He loves costumes. He loves all these things. So I'm really curious to see what he has to say in regards to all this. So that being said, who likes Halloween?
Me.
Okay. Raise up one hand. All right. Sid.
Me. I do too.
Okay. Colleen, okay.
I definitely liked it more so, like, I liked it better before. I think now I'm more spooked out now by lots of things. So I kind of, I don't know, I'm just turning into a little coward as I get older.
Yeah, I don't know if it's scarier now. I feel like I'm able to be a little more creative now when Halloween comes around. Like, I enjoy it for a season along with the fact of the scariness that comes with it. Although whenever we get to talk about scary movies or whatnot, it's gotten kind of lame, but
oh yeah, agree.
It's that kind of build up to it, you know, scary, haunted houses, you know, mm-hmm. Those are always fun. The true. Crisp air, just kind of everything that encompasses this time of year.
Well, this is definitely my favorite time of year. Absolutely. And that always had something to do with it. Just the air changing and then Halloween approaching and all the
pumpkin
just
spice
scary
lattes.
Movies. Yes. And yeah, exactly. And carving pumpkins, all that fun stuff. It's just a good time of year.
Yes. No, it's always been good, you know, because you got tired of all the heat from summer personally, mm-hmm. But then there's something that's always kind of mystical about Halloween, you know?
Yes.
Sometimes I even think of Halloween before I think of Thanksgiving. You know, some people are like, on to the next holiday. Like, I think of once Halloween happens, then maybe, you know, the rest of them can come. But I got to always keep my mind on the idea of what Halloween is, just that kind of feeling of spookiness around you.
True. Yeah, I like that too. Now, I do like all that stuff, but when it comes to Halloween in general, I don't like it. I don't really care. I never really got in the costumes. I never did all that.
Because you got no candy. You were getting lumps of cold and dog shit.
Razor blades in my stuff. I was in the hood.
He kept getting that candy corn. He's like, I don't want this candy corn.
Nasty ass candy corn. I don't care.
That's you can build, exactly.
Where's my
put
100
pieces together, you make a cob of corn. I don't give
a damn.
I
want some Reese Pieces.
He's getting all his in just random plastic bags. He didn't get Snickers bars. He got Snookers bars.
Oh, man. I forgot you guys. So, all right, fine.
Seth got snookered.
All right, so, yeah, so Halloween, really not my favorite thing, but, you know, getting scared and things like that.
There's stuff you like about this time of year, though, yeah? I know you like, you know, maybe you don't personally like to get spooked, but I know you like watching other people get spooked, and I know that you like that kind of thing.
Oh, Seth loves some spookiness.
Seth. I don't think he enjoys it himself to be the spooked. He likes to be the spooky.
I like to be the spooker.
I don't know. Spooker. Yeah. I don't know. Seth's got some blanket stories of ratings. We all know about ratings, right?
Yeah, well, yeah, the good old blanket score.
Yeah,
we
yeah.
might have to explain that to the listeners real quick.
Yeah, blankets and snuggies.
Yep. Somebody explain.
That's Spears all day. I think Spears is the one that came up with the rating.
That was us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It originated within the three of us.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. It's basically, okay, to all you listeners out there, our blankets rating system would be like, this started back in the day, and it would be whenever we would watch a scary movie or there was something, and maybe we were talking to each other, hey, yo, you seen the you know, whatever movie? And like, I give it like, three blankets and a snuggie, and depending on how many blankets or snuggies or whatever, that would determine the scariness level.
Yes. Correct.
Yeah, Snuggie was actually, yeah, you see.
Above.
It was like above blankets. The five, because if it's yes. like, you know, you got 0 to 5 blankets, and yes. then once it passes the blanket scale, then it goes to the Snuggie.
Exactly. Yeah.
So
yeah.
that's kind of where it is. So, you yeah, get, so if it's like a movie like, to me, like The Ring, okay, to me, that's like 5 blankets and a Snuggie.
That is Seth's favorite movie. Matter of fact, The
I
Ring.
Can't. Talk about See, that, I'm with. We're just both shaking our heads like,
he's 40 years old and still can't watch that movie by himself.
I can't watch it by my. I can. Why would you want to watch it by
Not
yourself?
Not watching that damn thing by that's myself. Terrible. Now I'm already looking behind me now.
Right? There's going to be like a girl with hair in her face. Come, yeah, I see it in your window. There you go. Look behind you.
Yeah.
This is about to be the shortest podcast ever because I'm about to go right to sleep underneath my covers with my onesie on.
With all your lights on. He's going to be in the corner trying to make himself look like a raccoon. Don't look at me.
I'm playing possum even though I'm a raccoon.
Yes.
Well, real quick, since somebody brought up The Ring and we're talking about all that, what is the very first scary movie that each of you watched? Can you remember? And did you get into it when you were like kids or as you got older?
Well, it wasn't a movie. Actually, one of them was, if you guys would know this, you probably would, Silver Bullet.
Yeah, the werewolves.
Yeah, and oh, I think that wow. was Drew Barrymore's first movie. She could have been like maybe 6 years old.
Wait. Is this the one with Corey Haim in the wheelchair?
Didn't I just say?
You said Drew Barrymore.
Yeah. You did say Drew Barrymore.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I think that was... All right, I'm going to go to the Google machine.
Yeah.
Let's see what this says.
I'm trying to... Silver Bullet?
That's the one with Corey Haim, I believe, and he was paralyzed or something, and he was in a wheelchair, turned into... I don't know what it was, but there was a werewolf, and that's about a werewolf in a wheelchair.
It's funny, when you say wheelchair, my mind was thinking of Gremlins, when they had that old lady... That
going up the staircase.
Up and, she, and they hijacked that train. Slit her ass on out the window. Yeah.
That's still one of my favorite movies. I used to be straight up scared of everything. Like, I could not watch scary movies when I was younger at all. Like, even a preview on TV or anything, like, would have me in nightmares for a long, long time. So, probably, like, Gremlins and things like that were the ones that the scariest things I watched when I was a kid.
Right.
But when I got older, I want to say the very first scary movie I watched was either The Exorcist or The Shining. Probably both of them around the same time. So I started off like pretty good, I would say.
Yeah, you started with like those psychological, like how does that register to like a child's brain, like a psychological, you know?
I was not a child. Like, I'm telling you, I didn't watch them till I was... probably like 17.
Oh wow.
Like, I had to stay away from that. So I'm telling you, I had horrible nightmares. And then once I started getting into it, then I started being like, ooh, I like it. Then I started really watching, like liking all the Halloween movies with Michael Myers and stuff. I got into all that. And then I was just like a horror movie like fanatic. Loved it. And then as time went on, a lot of the movies got extra gory. I don't like that at all.
Right.
It makes me feel weird in my body watching that. I just can't watch it. And then I think we had like a pretty decent amount of scary movies back in like the 2000s, like early 2000s. But they've just gotten kind of lame.
Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah. Well, you haven't been shook in a while. Sid is a scary person. Now,
yeah, I tend to find them all.
Quick sidebar. I was 100% wrong. You guys were 100% right. I'm thinking Drew Barrymore. That was Firestarter.
Firestarter. Yeah.
Not scary.
I was like, I'm talking about a guy, and Seth is talking about a girl.
No,
like,
it's Corey Haim. And our boy, Gary Busey. Wow.
Yep.
I forgot he was even in this movie. Now, I got to watch this movie again now.
Goodness now, what's the name gracious. Of this one again?
This is called Silver Bullet. This is the 1985. It's a 1985 movie. So this was scary to me. And then what always used to happen, like once this, we used to always freak me out, is that there was always this time right around where it happened in the movie, and it was also around the time where they used to show this movie, is that when the radio or the TV goes off the air and it goes the national anthem, then it goes beep.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then that's all of a sudden, that's when all like the werewolf stuff would come out and all this kind of stuff too. So it always freaked me out. So that was probably the movie that kind of got me shook in the beginning. So anyway, so
it's funny. I just looked up Silver Bullet, and the only thing that popped up was Coors Light.
It's pretty scary too. If you want to get technical,
yeah, man. So I had to figure it out because I was stuck between two movies that really I think did it for me when I was younger, and I couldn't remember which one came first. But the two, one was Nightmare on Elm Street.
Oh God!
But then the other one was The Fly, and so with Jeff Goldblum.
Mm-hmm. Oh my scary God. Though that was just nasty.
Are you right? It's freaky. He turned into a fly and he was kind of creeping around.
Yeah.
And then he threw up on that dude's hand and it just melted away and he ate it. Come on.
So I wasn't scared of that.
Creepy. So that was like creepy to me because it was a tangible type of fear. You know, there was a fly you could see. He's a tangible. But when you go back to Nightmare on Elm Street as being a kid back in, I think, 84. Now, all of a sudden, you got this dude that kills you in your dreams. So you can't go to sleep because then that's what gets you. You know, like,
I know.
That was that was tough to kind of deal with at, 8 years old? Is that 7, 8 years old?
one of those numbers. No, that I couldn't watch those because of how scary Nightmare on Elm Street was. I could not watch it. I think I didn't watch that movie full all the way through until, I don't know, I was like 25 years old because I could not watch it. It was too scary. Just the thought of the whole thing. But then when I watched it as an adult, I was like, okay, it's kind of funny. Exactly. Campy.
Yeah, it's campy. It's funny.
I gotta watch it again though because I was really shook, especially when the end of the first one where dude gets grabbed and pulled through the door, that little tiny door. I was like, okay, I'm turning this off.
That's when the opiates really started because then a person would be dreaming, something crazy would happen, and then they like they wake up and like, oh man, that was just a dream.
But then
on the ceiling, or he gets pulled back into the bed. Like all those things, like you almost think you're safe, and then all of a sudden, boom, you're not. Exactly. You're still back in it, you know.
And that's why it's so scary.
Yeah. That was 1984.
1984,
good night. That was that long ago. This was Johnny Depp's first movie.
It was. He's the one that got sucked into the bed.
Mm-hmm. And the blood all hit the ceiling and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Look at him now. He's alive, just for folks that aren't sure if he survived.
His wife beat it?
Oh, man.
Yeah, his wife was getting in on him. I'm glad he got some help, man. They didn't believe him on that one.
Yeah, I know. I'm glad he didn't die. He really looked like he died in that movie, but
most people when they lose that much blood tend to die, but
I'd say so.
I know, man. Really got him. But he's still making movies, man. He's still making movies. So
You know, one thing that bugged me is like as a kid, I remember being in like middle school and high school around this time of year, and say there'd be like a class or whatever in school where they'd, you know, let's watch a movie. And there were a couple times where people would watch, they'd approve for us to watch horror movies. I remember that in high school. I feel like it was like ninth grade or something. They had us watching Candyman. So I was freaked out and I had to like sit in the back because I couldn't leave the classroom. So I'm trying to like cover my ears the whole time going, la, 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 like not hear it, not watch it because it was freaking me out.
You know what you'd get in high school if you tried to play Candyman? A pink slip. Get to stepping.
They did that in Laurel, though. They did that. I swear to you.
I don't know what kind of school you went to. It sounds like a fucking group home, but
we went to the same school. Thank you very much. This was in art class, and this happened. They made us watch Candyman.
Who was the teacher? Was this a substitute?
Mrs. What the heck was her name? She had short hair. I don't remember her name, but
gotcha.
Short and hairy.
I feel like had that. I know Angela was in my class, but you may have been in that class, Sid.
It's possible. I was in an art class at one point. In an art class. Yes, but I definitely don't remember watching Candyman. But if y'all, I believe it, man. It's Laurel. You know what we do. You know what we
Candyman
do.
Candyman was a messed up movie too. I mean, you know,
A lot of things were allowed back then that are like a serious no now.
Oh yeah, kind of like smoking out back. cigarettes out back by the bleachers. I mean, yep, that was kind of allowed, but they just had to say stop doing it just because.
That's actually where that's where I got my first pager. Matter of fact, I found it out back.
Oh, jeez.
I had that thing for years. Oh, great. Man.
I got my first pager in school, too, like 10th grade.
Wow. See,
great yellow, neon yellow pager.
Yeah, mine was a neon green. No, I had an all black one that was never turned on, but I used to perpetrate. And then.
Yeah, you did perp.
it's not actually hooked up.
And then I finally got it. But then I finally got it connected. And I was like, oh, sucky.
Yes, indeed.
All right, we're starting to get sidetracked. All right, so we had the movies. Everybody knows those movies. If not, listeners out there, send us your obscure, like not like Jason and Freddy. Send any odd movies that I can watch underneath of a blanket. So aircandypodcast@gmail.com. Send it in so we can listen.
Yeah, and so the whole thing is like obviously movies I think nowadays have changed quite a bit. I'm hoping it's not the idea that we're older and things like that don't scare us. I hope is that they just haven't been as good. You know what I mean? So that gives you the possibility that one of these that comes out within this next, 5 years will be one of those that becomes that new feeling that we used to get.
Well, people are so desensitized now because I think that a lot of the violence and stuff has become so normalized that it's just, people don't get as scared. And also, I mean, you can only do the same things so many times. You know what I mean? Like somebody needs to come up with a new creative way to get some scares.
I tell you one, and Seth probably didn't watch it yet, but if you're
not yet, I'm not ready.
A newer type of horror movie that's not overly gory, but like a mind kind of fuck.
Psychological.
Yeah,
thriller.
Psychological. It's called Witch. Now,
I watched it. I've seen it.
Did you? How'd you feel about it?
I'm freaked.
Yes. And what's crazy about it is a very slow rolling kind of thing. They really kind of make you feel that you're losing your shit. It's a very slow, methodical kind of thing because they really get you into the characters that are in it. Yes. And nothing's over the top. But then like when they touch that pedal, they hit that pedal.
God.
And that's the one for our listeners. That's the one where it looks like it's three W's for the letter.
Yeah.
It doesn't look like just a regular W when you search it.
Can you draw that out in the air for
it's
me?
It's more like a vitch.
Vitch.
The vitch.
Vitch.
The vitch.
It's the vitch.
All right. So if Colleen can watch that, I'm going to give it a try.
You are a Bama.
She gets more
I didn't watch I know, it alone, mind you. I wouldn't watch that shit alone. I can't watch any of those things alone.
Seth, basement, lights off.
Oh, no.
No. Upstairs, lights on.
8 a.m.
Yeah. Yeah,
8 o'clock in the
up.
Morning on a Sunday.
Yes. Yeah.
With my onesie.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So now we're talking about movies. I think we kind of all know who is the most shook. It's probably me. Sid is the most, he has the highest fortitude when it comes to scary. Yeah. And then Colleen's somewhere in the middle, lower end of the show.
Yeah. I'm closer to Seth than Sid. I'm definitely more shook than fortitude.
Yeah.
I'm like,
But you just
also like I'll see things over and over in my mind after I watch it. I'll be like, oh, it wasn't that bad. And then I'll be trying to sleep and I'll be like, oh,
like
imagining what I just watched.
Ugh. Listen, there's a scene in that movie that just keeps coming back up that, I remember it. Like when I talk to Noodles, like we always talk about that moment in that movie. So it has
where it was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
And don't spoil it for Seth.
Oh, I would never do that. But the hair, what's that? Heredity? Another one.
Oh, my God. That one was so scary.
Yeah.
Another psychological thriller that definitely to this day, if I'm scrolling through Amazon Prime or whatever and I just see the cover art.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, no. Like, I can't go back there in my mind. It messed with my mind. That is a psychological thriller, Seth, for sure.
Who's in that one?
Nobody you would ever know. That's the crazy part about it.
I think psychological thrillers is Seth's main fear, like what he's scared of, right? Let's talk about what we're all afraid of. What scares you? So I know Seth, it's psychological thrillers, but not just movies, just in life. What are you afraid of? Anything?
Death.
Okay, fair.
In an empty refrigerator.
Out of fear.
That's my worst fear.
Running out of
fear. I think fear. Actually, one of the things that I'm actually afraid of is home invasions. That's my thing.
Okay. Okay.
I get freaked out a lot in this house.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, because like, you're just in a big empty house right by now. Yourself.
Yeah. Well, just me in this house is a 3-level townhouse. The bottom level has a window that you technically could just climb in or you can bust through. I wouldn't hear anything because I'm on the top level. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my thing. Like even doing this podcast right now, I'm in my office. I have a closed door. I never have any closed door in this house. So
right, because you want to be like on alert.
Yeah, exactly. So, and I want to hear things, but no, I can't. I got headphones on. I'm talking to you guys. I got the door closed. Like, you know, I just don't. I have a fear of that. I have a fear of you guys watching my death.
Wow.
Right on this podcast.
It's got wow. real.
That did get real. But you know what, Seth? I'd come running, like legitimately.
We both would.
Crazy with that.
You can clean up the mess.
Oh, I don't know about that. I'm going to see if you're all right. You know, if I got scared, move away. Come banging pots and pans. Get away! Get away!
So, yep. So, you know, all realistically, yep, that is one of my fears. Like home invasions, something like that, or some kind of being murdered or something like that. That is what I'm scared of in my current situation, probably all the damn time.
Yeah.
I mean, that I would say that's a fear of mine, too. I mean, that wouldn't be a fun thing to go through. I'm currently in a house right now that's also the same. It's like a 3-level townhouse by myself. And there's also those little windows on the bottom floor in the basement where someone could just sneaky deaky in there. In fact, I had a night here recently where I thought someone had come in because there was like some noises that were unexplained and I was definitely freaked out. I got golf clubs and I'm like standing there like ready to pounce. But yeah, that's freaky. And I had the same thing. Like I keep the door closed when I'm in this room, and then when I have the headphones on too, like I'm like I can't hear what's going on, so there could be someone sneaking up behind me too.
Yeah.
So it's just going to be me and Seth. We're getting attacked, and Sid's just watching us on the squad.
I'm just like this. This is the best show ever. It's
look
so
at y'all
realistic.
Just dying.
It's so realistic.
Yeah.
I've never seen his eyes poke out so much when he's getting choked. Man, that's crazy.
Wow. Oh, God. I didn't know that was a real thing. Oh, man.
Oh, man.
So, yeah. Colleen, what are you really afraid of? Is there anything else that you're really afraid of?
I mean,
just say it. I know you just
okay.
For our listeners, just say it.
I don't like clowns. They're fucking freaky. Sorry.
Yeah.
I mean, they're so freaky that I had to drop the F-bomb right there too. They're that freaky to me.
Like all clowns?
Yeah. What
I mean,
clowns
okay. There might be
like?
There might be some that are a little less scary, but typically they're all pretty dang scary just because like the makeup and the creepy like happy smile and oh man I can't
those
I can't
balloon
take it.
Animals they're magic yeah. tricks oh
the little teeny cars and there's like a million of them
oh there. See a clown car would screw me up oh it's too many people too
I
many
don't
people
yeah I don't trip off of clowns
no.
But you know I think that you know you're right because if you think about the wrong way you got these like okay, so who was really like the person behind the painting? Are you really like a sad man?
John Wayne Gacy?
Serial
like,
killer,
yeah, John
exactly.
Wayne Gacy, exactly.
Yeah.
You know, he are you really sad or you crazy just hide behind this painting and you're just really just kind of a crazy man traveling around from place to place and kidnapping children? And
so did you see the thing? It's I don't know if it's real. I think it is, but it could also be one of those like parody things, but it's Wrinkles the Clown.
Oh, I saw that. It's actually really good.
But is it real? I don't know. Either way, that is scary. So it's just a normal guy, supposedly, who is hired by parents and other people to, like, go scare their children when they're bad.
Why would you do
it is that? It is a great documentary. So the short answer is yes, it is true.
They actually hired a man to go to their kids.
There's a guy who's a clown, and he basically lives off the grid in, like, a van. And it goes back to our other episode. Anyway, he lives in a van or whatever, and he's dressed as this scary clown, and he put up like a, I don't know, like an 800 number or something, and it goes directly to his cell phone.
I can see
and there's
it.
Like, imagine like just like walking down the street and seeing like an ad that you just pull the little tabbies off the bottom, and it's like, if you want to, you know, teach your kids a lesson, call this. So that's what it started off as, I guess. But now it's like a number that you can call to this day, this is Wrinkles the Clown, leave a message. And people, parents have hired this man to come scare the crap out of their kids. And he's been like in their house. He'll like hang out by the window and peer in just to scare the shit out of their kids if they're being bad. Or the parents will use him as a threat. Like, if you don't be good, I'm going to get Wrinkles to come after you. That's terrible. That's terrifying.
What kind of parenting 101 book did they get that from? Your kid didn't pick up his clothes in his room, or he didn't clean his plate or do dishes? Oh, Wrinkles is going to come kill you. You know, like
that's basically it. They're like, exactly Wrinkles is going to come get you. Seriously, I think you can watch the documentary on YouTube, I think. I don't remember which platform.
Sid, you would definitely do it.
Listen, if you're curious, the number is 407-734-0254.
For real? Did you just look that up?
Yep. Oh yeah, I'm looking at it right now.
It is a thing.
If anybody is curious, go ahead and dial that number, and Wrinkles will be on the other end.
You know what's funny? We were talking earlier about things that we're afraid of, and I was trying to think of something that I was afraid of. I'm afraid of certain superstitions, which mean like nothing, like Bloody Mary, saying that in the mirror 3 times.
I'm afraid
never
of all
done
that
it in my
too.
Life. Never done it in my life, and I don't plan to. Do I believe?
I think I did that 3/4 of a time and said I can't say the third one.
Right, you see what I'm saying? So it's funny. It's something that we know logically is not real. Right, you know it's not real, but I'm not going to test it to find out. And that's always here. I am 43 year old man, and I will not go in that and close the door in the bathroom.
I don't like that. I think I've done it all the way. I can't remember. I did try that in this house I'm in right now.
How about you do it right now?
I'm not doing it right now. I have a podcast to do. Sorry, I'm busy.
Go for it. And then we see some head pop up through the window behind him. Like,
Will you stop with that?
No, I keep thinking I'm seeing like a figure in that window, like that.
It's his. It's his own reflection. For our listeners, he got up and he's closing his blinds.
Yes. Well, that's done.
You feel better, Seth.
You happy?
You probably do feel better. He did. You know,
a lot
it's funny.
Better. There's no more stuff.
Did you notice he didn't even look out the window? He didn't even look out the window. He just went and pulled it down. He's like, I'm not even going to look out the window in case there is something out there.
Because if there's something out the window, then that means it's flying in the air 30 feet in the air. And after I see that, this podcast is over.
No, I feel that. Like, you just want to like close it down. You don't want to look. No investigating. Just ignore. Nah. Pretend like it's not happening.
So you're right. Yeah, the superstitions, that is one too. That kind of gets me too. You know, all.
And you
things.
Did Bloody Mary in that house? Were you a kid?
I did Bloody Mary in this house. Nothing happened. I'm still here. Blah blah blah. So
he says he did it. He didn't do it. He's like Bloody Michael, Bloody I have your tape set.
Bloody margarine, yeah.
Bloody.
I never did a Ouija board. I haven't done anything like that. You know, Colleen's our local witch, so.
I'm not a local witch. Don't say that. That's terrible. I have definitely, as a kid, messed around with this stuff, and I would just highly recommend to everybody out there, don't mess with this stuff, please. Just stay away from it. Just do not get tempted by this stuff. It is just opening a door to a lot of bad things. So
yeah, who's that away. Who was that? Parker Brothers? Is that who came out with the Ouija board?
You know, I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it was Parker Brothers. And they're laughing all the way to the bank.
Well, you know what's funny? I'm with you, Colleen, about staying away from Ouija boards. I haven't done seances and other kind of weird stuff, but I did actually play with a Ouija board once, and that's all it took for me. It was with, who was all there? It was Brandon, because we were at Brandon's house. Kevin Millar might have been there. I'm sure Joe Kane and Andre, all these,
more
you know,
than likely.
All these goons are all in the same place. And I can remember sitting in a room. It wasn't even late at night. I'd say it might have been, I don't know, 9:30. And then we're all, you know, fingers on and it's moving and all that kind of stuff. And then it's moving, but people are like, yeah, it's probably nothing, whatever. And then I can remember Brandon's dad, Jerry, coming in. Saying, oh, that's a bunch of shit. That's not working. We're like, wait, what? No, it's working. He's like, oh, there's no ghosts and da-da-da. He's just, you know, kind of belittling the entire scenario. The thing starts moving super fast, and then we all take our hands off. We're like, whoa, was that you? You know, having that kind of conversation with one another.
You did it. No, you did it. Oh, yeah, sure, man. I didn't do it.
Yeah, it's one of those back and forth things. I was like, I knew that. And then I was like, I'm not playing. I said, because I'm done. That was enough, right? And so they all start going back and doing it again. It starts moving. And then it said, sorry, Sid. The thing knew my name.
Right. Well, maybe your friends did.
But think how silly that would have to be for all of them, the other four people, to be in on the same idea of what it is that, you know, that what they're doing. You know what I mean?
It was
one of those scenarios that I just couldn't. The other thing that was really interesting is the other thing that was interesting is where the ghost said that it was in that house and where it hung out where Jerry had mentioned at one point that, yeah, you know, I kind of saw some things down there, but I didn't think much of it. That kind of scenario.
Oh, God.
And it was
Here
one of those scenarios like under the steps. That's where, you know, it was. But it was one of those where he didn't tell them to say that, you know, like two messages shouldn't have been together. But somehow the same place that he thought he saw stuff was the same place that the Ouija board used to hang out.
No,
thank you. No, thank you.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. No, thank you. And what's funny is that, like, I feel like younger girls have a tendency more to mess with this stuff than younger boys. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Yeah, I can see all you guys like there. There's a bunch of dudes sitting in the room playing around a Ouija board. That sounds pretty lame.
Yeah, I'll play Monopoly. I'll play Monopoly. Parker Brothers, I'll play your Monopoly game.
There's no way I would ever go near any of that shit again. No way. It opens up doors 100%. I know, like, people think, like, oh, it's just a board game. No, that stuff, it's all about intentions. And when you go into something with the intention of contacting a spirit, whether it's the game board or not, when you're opening a door saying, hey, I'd like to, you're opening the dang door. Period.
I'm with you, and I don't want to do that.
Exactly. Like, no, thank you.
I think it's because we have that belief, enough of a belief, that we're not just here in this plane. There's another plane that's next to us. And I don't even know the origination of the Ouija board. Like, it's not like the people at Parker Brothers were like, hey, we got a great game. This is what we're going to do. We're just going to make these weird letters, and then we're going to talk to spirits. Yay! You know, that doesn't seem to be a 1932 or whenever the Ouija board came out.
I feel I'm going to guess. I don't know for sure, and maybe Seth can Google machine this, but I'm going to guess and say that there were people back then. I mean, you imagine back then. I mean, we've all watched documentaries and movies, but I feel like back in the day, like, holding seances was a thing to do. Like, be like, oh, we're all going to, you know, John Smith's house, and we're going to hold a seance this week. You know what I mean? And that's what they did back in the day. And I think perhaps that idea bled into the, well, let's make a board game out of this and make money off of it. I think maybe that's how it started. I could be way off, Mark, but that's just my guess.
Well, here goes. Seth Spears, the historian.
Thank you.
You know, Google's one of the best things, next to my Encyclopedia Britannica. Britannica. Whatever.
Britannica. He got the offbeat joint. What'd you get? A thrift store? He's got a thrift store version of Britannica. It's probably Britannica.
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 It's like Eminem rapping. Eminem. It's a Britannica. We can bring your hand of Britannica. Yeah.
It's missing volumes. It doesn't go in order.
Exactly.
It's not alphabetical.
All right. I'm going to fast forward. Okay. Ouija, also known as a spirit board or talking board, is a flat board marked with the letters of the alphabet, number 0 through 9, the words yes or no. I've seen that before. Occasionally,
and hi and bye,
and
I think.
Yep. Hello and goodbye, just like you said. Along with various symbols and graphics. It uses a planchette, which is in parentheses a small heart shaped piece of wood or plastic, which I know that. What that was, as a movable indicator to spell out messages during a seance. Participants place their fingers on a planchette and then is moved about the board to spell out words. Ouija is a trademark of Hasbro.
Hasbro.
It's often used generically to refer to any talking board. So there you go, sis. So it's not Parker Brothers, it's Hasbro, which is pretty cool.
Okay,
All right.
okay, okay. But I want to know where did it start? Like the idea of it, right? Had to have started
From people having
before that.
seances, yes. From people having like
So people would just write it down
formal.
on pieces of paper and then just kind of.
No, I think people would gather and have formal seances at somebody's house back there. Like, we're gathering at so and so's house and we're going to have a formal seance to try to contact whatever. And I feel like they did it all in secret because I don't know, just creepier
Right,
that way. I don't
exactly.
know.
Well, here we go. Well, here goes the answer. Following its commercial introduction by businessman Elijah Bond on July 1, 1890, the
Okay.
Ouija board was regarded as an innocent parlor game unrelated to the occult until American spiritualist Pearl Curran popularized its use as a divining tool during World War One. So that's what, 1920 or something like that. So there you go. So that's where
There
all that
you
kind of stuff
go.
came from. It's been around for a really long time.
Right.
And honest, and obviously, the real the scientists, they called it was pseudoscience and blah blah blah. But people have, if you open up the door, man, something will walk through it. You just got to understand whether it's a toy or not, and you just never know.
Yeah.
Exactly. So
You just
just
never
say
know.
no, people, because
Yeah.
you don't want to invite that stuff in. I mean, and people think, oh, I can just ask for a protection prayer and this, that, and the other. That, I mean, that's not gonna like, I'm not gonna say it's not gonna do anything, but I mean, you're not in control of protecting yourself. You know what I mean?
Well, it depends on who you ask. I mean, a lot of people are really into this stuff, and some people do. Like Lisa's next door neighbor, she loves scary stuff, and she's really, me and her started talking, and she actually has equipment in the house for like ghost watching.
Oh, so you're talking about like EVP machines and all that stuff.
Well, it's all, yeah, she has all that, but it's all along the same vein, opening stuff. She wants to see that stuff. She actually invites it in and blah blah blah. She says she's all about the vibe and like, oh, it has a really good vibe inside the house. There's spirits here and the good spirits and blah blah blah. I don't believe any of that kind of crap, but
Okay, so talking about energy and vibes,
yeah,
I'm
energy.
definitely an empathic person, so I've always had this my whole life, and I can sense things and whether it's like a masculine or feminine energy and all that stuff, but like, or whether it is positive or negative or whatever. So I get what you're saying, but again, I'm not trying to invite any of that stuff around me because I'm very susceptible to things wanting to stick around me. It's just
Like your
not a
farts.
pleasant
Oh, they do. Basking in the
Basking in the
You guys, ridiculous. Well, going into that, I mean, have you guys ever had any paranormal experiences yourselves?
Oh, Sid got a story. Sid got a story. Tell us about the one about
The Ghosts of Christmas Past?
No.
Well, it was a cold night. Ebenezer Scrooge was a business partner of mine.
Kali has that. She's a self-proclaimed empath, so things stick around her. So bad vibes, good vibes, blah blah blah. What about the one time that you said that you saw something? We were talking about doors and stuff. Remember that one time you said in your apartment we used to live in Laurel, and then you
Yeah.
saw something peek around the door or something like that? Tell us
Yeah,
that
it
story.
was just a case where I remember coming back from hanging out with buddies and whatnot. Yeah. And so you can imagine it's just a one bedroom apartment.
Oh God,
And
I'm already.
Middletown Apartments, you remember Middletown
Yeah,
Apartments?
Middletown, that was the name of it. I remember
Yeah.
that.
So like just to kind of put the layout, you walk in and then you're in the living room. You go left down the hall, there's the bathroom, and then there's my parents' bedroom. So that's it. It's not any bigger than that. To the right is the kitchen and the little tiny dining room. So when we were living there, me and my brother, we would either sleep like one on the couch and one on the floor, or roll the bed out, or whatever the case, right? So it's small living room. But I remember coming in, and then where our room was, it faced where Montgomery Ward's used to be, Laurel Mall. So the light of that would come through the blinds. So it was never completely dark. You close the blinds, you still get a little bit of light. But I remember coming home, and then I mean, my brother was already in bed, he was already asleep, And then I had like a little air mattress that I pulled out. And so I was on the phone talking to like a buddy. I was like, yeah, you know, I finally just got back. You know, it was a good time. Da 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 da. You know, just shooting the shit real quick. But quietly, because everyone's asleep in the house. But then I kind of peer up towards the hallway, you know, it's a long, you know, hallway to the bathroom. And then I see just a silhouette of a person peek out. It was all black, but it was just like the side of the head and then down to like the shoulder, as if you had leaned out around the corner just to see. And then it dipped back.
Mm-hmm. Now, did you get up to investigate or did you just sit there and try to process what you saw?
I was still on the phone. And I was like,
oh, God.
I think, man, I might be losing my mind. They're like, why? You know, what's up? I think I just saw something just peek around the corner, you know? And it was like one of those, like, I know I saw it. It wasn't like, it wasn't a scenario where some people kind of see something out of the corner of their eye.
Right.
I was staring at the hallway at the time it peeked out and then tucked back. And then I was kind of like, yeah, man, I don't, you know, I didn't know how to feel about it, you know.
I'm just tired. I'm blah, blah, blah. You know.
Yeah, it was kind of like, all right, well, I'm not going to go down the hallway. It was kind of one of those films. Yeah. Like, no one's in the house. I knew no one could be in there. You know what I mean? Because before that, I'd go down to the bathroom and all that kind of stuff and came back. But I couldn't pin it. I didn't know what it was. And the next morning, of course, you know, not to try to alarm anybody, I was like, yeah, you know, I came home. Did you guys get up at all? And, you know, asked my parents, like, nah, you know, we went to bed at, you know, like 7 or 8 o'clock. And that was it. And so ever since then, I never really knew what it was. But, you know, doing research, apparently there's like dark silhouettes that people can actually see from time to time.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Whether good, whether bad, I don't know. If it's bad, I'm glad he turned back around and went the other direction.
Exactly. Yeah. So I've seen the dark figures as well.
Cheers.
I'll just do two quick stories that happened in the same house in Laurel, in historic Laurel.
Wait, hold on. Just gotta quickly check around me real quick.
He's looking around. You're good. Nobody's behind you.
All right, I'm in the basement.
And then for your listeners out there, I have my onesie on with my raccoon hood, and I have it closely wrapped around my face.
Yeah, and listening to scary stories, I pull my shirt up up to my eyeballs, so I'm like hiding in the neck of my shirt. It's like any way to be protected. Yeah. We're protecting ourselves with a piece of fabric.
So that's a good story, Sid. It's you know, it's still scary. You haven't said that story in a long time. You told me a long time ago, and now you say it. Now my hood is over my face, and I'm still scared. But
you know, it stays
pretty
good. It stays. I mean, it's always stayed with me. I mean, it hasn't changed. It feels kind of like a scenario of yesterday. Like, it's always there. But once again, it was weird because as scary as it was, I didn't feel in trouble, which was odd. Like, if you ever see an assailant, you kind of get hype up. Mm-hmm. You're a little hyper, like a fight or flight. I didn't feel that. It was just like, I see you.
Mm-hmm.
And then you went away.
Right.
And that was it. You know, I didn't feel any fear.
Right. No, I totally understand. So the one of the stories that was the same exact vibe. It was like, I didn't get that fight or flight feeling like, oh, assailant, I need to protect. Mm-hmm. Like, but I saw this figure and I was just like, okay, you're there. I'm here. And it was just like one of those things. So I was in a house in historic Laurel, and it was a very old, it's probably almost 200 years old now, but originally it had been purchased and then restored and added an addition onto it. Now, where I was in the house when this particular incident happened was in part of the new house, so part of the part that did not exist in the original structure. So what happened was I was in a room, and on the outside of the room where the door is, that was part of the old house. So on this particular occasion, the figure, the whatever, it was standing there and it kept opening the door, and it would close it and it just kept opening the door, and it was standing there on the other side of the door. And it just, and what's crazy is that I could see the figure, and it also looked like it had a striped shirt on. So I remember that very clearly too. And I just remember being like, I remember like I was trying to rest in the room or something, and it just they just kept opening the door, and I was just like, ugh. And then I had seen that same figure again at the end of the hallway, and I was just like, oh, here we go. And then I would always get freaked out in that hallway because there was a big mirror there too, and I was just like, I don't want to, and I would say, I don't want to see you.
Yeah.
Please don't touch me. Like, I know you're here. Just don't touch me. Don't, like,
just
like,
pleading. Don't, please
right.
don't
But
touch
it wasn't, right. But I wasn't like on guard, like, ha, I got to fight back. It wasn't like that. It was just like, I know you're there. Just mm-hmm. do your thing. I'm not evicting you. I'm just saying, don't come any closer. And that was that. Now, the other spirit in that house that I had was when I was staying in a room temporarily, and it was a small room in part of the old original structure house. And in this room, it had very high ceilings and it had a teeny tiny loft at the top of the room. So you could only get up and down there with a ladder or whatever. But again, I'm sitting on my bed and I just remember feeling like I was being watched. And I was just like, you know that feeling when you feel like you're being watched.
How
and
I looked
at this story so many damn times.
Watching me. I ain't got no privacy.
This happens every time. I've been listening to that podcast, and this is how it all starts.
And so I'm sitting there on the bed. Me. I feel like I'm getting watched. And I look up to this loft that's like, again, small room. So the loft is literally like basically kind of like hovering over where I'm sitting on the bed. And I see a spirit or so, like it was like a smaller, like a young, like a child type thing sitting there. And it's just like kicking its legs back and forth. And I was just like,
nope.
That freaked me out because I felt that scared me. I didn't feel like threatened. Like it's hard to explain. It was more of a feeling like, I was worried it was going to like jump down at me or something. You know what I mean? Like I couldn't move away because it was mm-hmm. up there. And I was like, oh my God, that
spirit
freaked
children
me out.
Scare me.
Yeah.
Children. Yeah. Scary yeah. children.
I would have locked. That would have been locked in and done. Just I'm not going back in there.
Yeah. That's not happening.
So nope. I prayed and I said, please just that was one that I did ask to go away because I felt extra uncomfortable for some reason. So I just followed my instinct and I asked it to go away and it did. And then I just hid under a blanket for a long time.
Yeah. I got snuck in a blanket. Now, did you sleep in that same room that night?
Yeah.
Or did you?
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah. Where else am I going to sleep?
The bathtub? My
bathtub,
car?
Outside, my
house,
car?
Outside?
Treehouse? I don't know.
Garbage
I just dealt with it.
I would have all those. Now, when you went to sleep, did you keep staring up?
Yes. Every time I went into that room again, I was like looking up, like making sure it wasn't looking at me again. But I mean,
you know what? You should have done is some history on that house to see if there were some children that.
Yeah,
were
I should
there.
Have. I never
so,
did. That's. So
that's
I
where
definitely
a lot of stuff happens. You know, me being a non-believer / believer, it's like, you know, if that stuff is there, sometimes if you just recognize that they're there and just say, okay, that's you. I'm here. I'm doing my thing. You guys can live at, you know, in harmony, you know what I'm saying? But then sometimes you get these malevolent spirits. Why am I even talking about this? I don't know anything about this stuff, but, you know.
No, but you're right.
Yeah.
You know, they just want to just fuck with you, man, just because they're either some kind of a djinn or some kind of, you know, one of the other, like, you know, malevolent, like, kind of spirits that are either troubled or they might be trying to tell you something, even though it might be scary, blah, blah, blah.
You guys, I have so many stories.
I'm not an expert in this kind of stuff, so.
I have so many stories to share, and it's crazy, but I am going to share one more story because it was the one that probably, I'm not going to say messed me up the most, but like,
hold on, I had to put my hood up for this one.
It left a lasting impression on you?
I'm putting my hood up for this
very
one.
Much so. So, Here's the rundown of this. This was back in like 96, 97. I was in Massachusetts with my at the time boyfriend visiting his family. So we went to his grandparents' house, and prior to this visit, he would tell me stories about this house, and you know, he was very much a person who had you know, paranormal experiences as well. So that was something that we shared. And he'd be like, you know, there's this room upstairs. And he'd tell me all this stuff about it. And he's like, you know, I'm going to show you this room, blah, 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 blah. So I was already like hyped up in my mind that like when we went to visit at some point, he was going to show me this creepy attic room, whatever. So when we went to this house, it's a very, very, very old house. It's an old fisherman, like whaler's house in Massachusetts, right? And it at some point turned into a boarding house and then eventually was purchased by his grandparents, right? So you imagine with all of that energy in and out, there's a lot there. But we were visiting with his grandparents and eventually he's like, come on, let's go. I'm going to show you this room now. And I'm like, all right. And I was kind of hesitant because I just got this vibe around me. Like I didn't want to go upstairs, whatever. Just felt like I don't know. He goes up the stairs. There's this big old staircase going up the stairs. He's like all excited. He goes up and he's up there waiting. He's like, come on, come on. And I'm like slowly, you know, going up these stairs, like kind of hesitant. And I got about halfway up the staircase and I kid you not, I had like what felt like a big finger come and touch the center of my forehead. Mm-mm. And pushed me back. Mm-mm. It pushed me back like that. And I nope. stopped. And it was like this clearly a very clear message saying, you're not going to go up there. So I was like, okay. I'm not coming up there. I listened and I did not take another step up those stairs and that was it. But so this, whatever this was, actually touched me and pushed me backwards. And that was the only time I actually can remember that I got like touched and pushed.
Get out. Oh, nice house. Yeah. But too bad we can't live here.
Yeah, exactly. Now, I've had stuff like fly across the room. I've seen a lot of things happen. But that was the only time that something actually pushed me.
Yeah, I couldn't. Like, that would have been it. Like, I would have been shook for months, you know, being touched.
Like I said, listeners, people that are listening, Colleen's our resident witch.
Stop it.
she's our medium. She's the one that calls.
Yeah, she's our medium.
I have had a lot of experiences, but I'm definitely not a witch.
I'm the one with my hands in my ears like, la, 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 don't talk to me, la, 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 la.
Exactly. I'm going to treat your ass like damn coronavirus. I'm just staying away.
Right.
I ain't going to do it. I mess around with your medium ass.
I don't go inviting in. I don't go asking, and I don't go, like, that's not it at all. It's just I've had things happen around me for whatever reason. So I've had a lot of stories to tell, and we can talk about other stuff some other time.
Yeah, I mean, so the last...
Anybody out there listening have any questions they'd like to ask me, send me a message.
Jeez. So I guess it wasn't... There's so many stories. Like, I have two other stories. One of, you remember the old house that I used to live in, Spears, in Snowden Mansion at the end
that
of...
That place was scary as hell.
So you had Snowden Mansion that I used to live in, which... I mean, when you think about like the first day of your life, just like moving to a new place and then it being this creepy old house, which you know, it looks like the trees, those tall, narrow pines.
We can drive down the driveway,
the dirt driveway. Mm-hmm. And then the house is like hidden back behind a little turn. And then there's this old house from like George Washington's day. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like it's old. On the back, it had George Washington's initials carved in the brick. Like the house is old, you know.
Yeah.
So people that are listening that are from Laurel or from Maryland, this house that Sid used to live in is off of Conti Road and 197. So if you know where that Taco Bell is, if you always look, there's a big open field and all these trees that goes on a long driveway. Sid used to live in that house. I always wondered what was back there. It is a house. It's old as hell.
Creepy house.
I've only been there like twice, and that is where it is. So any folks that are listening that are from our hood, you know what this house is. So that's to kind of put it into context. But go ahead, Sid.
Yeah, so you know, I kind of, you know, before heading up there, you kind of say, well, what's up there? You know, you it looks like an old house. You imagine that there might be something, you know, kind of spooky in there or whatnot. Well, what we used to do is every day we would have to leave, you know, to go to school. The main master bedroom where my dad stayed, we would lock that door because what would happen is we put our cat in there. We didn't want the cat running around the house because people would come to the house and work on different things in the house. So we're like, well, it was just a regular old, you know, bolt lock, you know, with a key up top. And then there was a lock on the inside, which was a slide lock, you know, that you'd only lock from the inside. So on an occasion, two separate occasions, I came home and I wanted to open the door to let the cat out. Well, I open up the bolt lock up top, and then I couldn't open up the bottom lock. And I'm like, why is this door wedged? There's no reason for this door to be wedged. So I had to 100% like pry the door open. And the only lock that was locked was the slot lock, the, like almost like a bolt that you would slide. And it didn't slide easily. So it's not you were going to close the door and have that shimmy its way locked. You would have to be on the inside. This is on the second floor. So the first time any time happens, you're like, all right, whatever. You just kind of throw it up to a possibility. Yeah. Well, about maybe, I'd say maybe a month later, I come home, same type scenario. I'm trying to unlock the top bolt. It's not unlocking. And then what is it? The bottom one, the slot lock, had locked again. So I read a little bit more into the stories of this house. Well, of course, there was a young boy that was in the master bedroom, and people see the boy at the base of the bed. So my assumption had always been that the boy saw the cat and wanted to play with my cat, Allie. So he would lock the door so no one would be able to come in while he's there playing with the cat. I mean, to me, there was no other logical, like, if you're out there in the world and you can explain to me how a slide lock can close, only on the inside, then go ahead and let me know. But there is no other explanation. I mean, I had to 100% like use a crowbar to kind of wedge the door open to get that lock, you know, unattached. So every single day that we would leave and go see back to North Carolina, I would, before everyone, like everyone else left, and I'm, you know, the last person out of the house, I'm like, all right, y'all have a good time. We'll be back. We'll be back on Sunday around blah, blah, blah time. So y'all take care. And I close the door. I wanted them to know, you can have all the fun you want, but guess
them,
what?
Them, like the back. Ghosts?
Yeah.
You used to talk to the ghosts?
I would talk
to
the ghosts.
Oh, my Lord.
You know, I've done that, too, where I'm just like, all right, well, you know, just speaking out loud to whatever.
We're leaving. Have fun.
Be good.
Now, for the fun part, you know, because you always got to play tricks with people every now and then. So when people would come over, because, you know, it's the house that people used to always see when they would drive, you know, so everyone kind of knew it. So when my friends would come over, what I would do is I'd show them the house. I'm like, all right, yeah. And then here's the basement. And we'd go down the basement. I showed them the boiler room.
Lord.
And then in the basement on a shelf, there were headstones, because on the property there was a graveyard.
They were for real headstones in that basement.
They were probably like, I don't know, man, maybe four foot headstones. I'd say 12 inches wide, you know, not super wide, but there were some ones that were down there. So, of course, I would run down there, do that, sprint upstairs and lock the door.
Lock the door, like, yeah, of course.
Stop playing. You play too much.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you let them soak that up for a little bit, and then you open the door. Oh, yeah, just shook. You know, just.
Oh, then you're getting, like, whopped upside
down. Super
head.
Crazy.
It's your imagination just runs, you know. Now you're locked down there, and you're thinking of every horror movie of something grabbing you on the steps, because the steps were the slats where you could see through.
Yep. All those old houses are like that. Yep. Narrow, very narrow, very, like, all, like, yeah, slats.
Yeah.
It's.
It was a spooky house. I loved it. I mean, I enjoyed it, probably because nothing poked me in my forehead and pushed me down the
side. Right. You shall not pass. Yeah. That's what it told me. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay.
I don't have any stories like that. Only thing I can say is I got sleep paralysis, so that's probably the close
that
second.
That is terrifying. I've had that too. It is no fun. It is scary, scary. Do you have like a story that you want to share about that, or?
Dude, it happens all the fucking time. It's crazy. I, you know, there's been times where I'm thinking I'm seeing something in my bedroom. I don't want to even talking about this. I had to sleep in this house tonight.
Yeah, you do.
Yeah, I mean, it's the times where, like, you know, you're awake, but not, you know, for folks that don't know what sleep paralysis is, it's a condition where you are in between REM sleep and being awake or deep sleep. That's kind of where it is. So your mind might be aware, but it's not sending the right kind of signals to the rest of your body. So your eyes could be open, or you could be aware, know that something's going on, but you just can't move because it's just a connection between your brain and your muscles. So that's why I call it sleep paralysis, because you're in that in-between stage. So people, and there's, you can put it in the Google machine, people with sleep paralysis, you think that somebody's coming over to you, sitting on your chest, laying next to you. You think you're seeing something and you're trying to move. And I've been in places where I think I see something and I'm trying to move, but it feels like, you know, your mouth's trying, you're trying to move your mouth, but it's glued shut. And I've been there and I'm trying to move and you're trying to move and do something. There's been actually a time recently, a few months ago, I was in my bed and I don't know what time it was when I went to sleep. And I legit like felt like something was just climbed in the bed with me and was like on my back, almost like being spooned. And I was like, all right, Seth, just sit here and do whatever you do. I had like these little tricks to try to get out of the paralysis, but it's almost like, okay, am I really dreaming this is happening? Is this really happening? Am I in this in-between stage? Like, what's happening? So, you know, I try to open my mouth, or I try to move a hand or a finger to see if I'm actually dealing with the paralysis or if I'm just a dream. And so I've been playing this game. This has been going on for years, but in this particular house, you know, it just seems like there's that, it just goes on in here. And there has been times where, you know, this is probably going to freak everybody else out that is listening, but you know, the proverbial thing, like when you're a child, where you think of like the hand that is coming out from underneath the bed and grabbing and like getting underneath the covers. Cause if you have that one little toe or one little foot out, the boogeyman's going to get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. He's coming after.
So there have been times where I have a foot out and I feel like something actually.
Stop it.
I am not. If I'm lying, I'm dying. I'm telling y'all, sleep paralysis is a thing. And for me in particular, I've had some really scary things. And then all of a sudden, it just goes away. Or I like wake up and then I'm just like, oh, crap. Oh, wow. My foot is outside of these covers. Let me put that back in and just try to go back to sleep and see what's going on. I mean, there have been times I pulled my pistol out. I mean, I've done a lot of things just thinking like, what is happening? But at the end of the day, it is a condition. You have to realize that, you know, all of us on this podcast, you know, have different levels of what they believe, what they don't believe in, blah, 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 blah. And so, you know, I just say, well, this is one of my conditions. It just is what it is. It's just super, super freaky because people that don't have sleep paralysis, they say, oh, that's freaky. That was something. It's a ghost. It's blah, 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 or it's this. But I don't know. I just think it is what it is. But it's super scary, and it is a thing, man.
Megan is another person that always has sleep paralysis. Like, I've had to kind of wake her up, or I've heard, like, times where she's almost, like, whimpering. You know, like, it almost feels like she's locked in, like, ice. You know what I mean? Like, you can hear her. She's not moving, but you can tell that she's kind of struggling, mm-hmm. Just to kind of get a word out to, you know, to get some type of release, some help or whatever it is. So I've gotten to the point, like, if I hear that, then I'll kind of grab her arm, shake her a little bit to get her, you know, back. But early on, I didn't know what was going on. I thought she was just sleep talking or whatever. I'm like, she's cute. Look at her. And I go back to sleep. And then, you know, the next morning she's like, oh my God, I had sleep paralysis. Oh man. This was the situation. And it's always something bad. It's not like you're in a good.
Yeah. No.
No, it's always something bad. It's like okay, this shadowy feature.
Right, or yes. Like having a beverage, you're like, oh, I'm going to pop. I've had too much candy. You're not like.
It's never like, it's, oh, well, great. Oh, man, it's a supermodel. She's just come over here and just trying to say hi to me. Okay, I've got to accept it. No, it's always some dark, shadowy figure that's just like coming over, like, hey, you know.
And you just can't move and you're frozen, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've had it and I've been like being sucked backwards through space in these like dark. It's kind of hard to explain, but that's what I have, my sleep paralysis, and I can't move. I end up like my whole body is being like sucked backwards, and I can't, like, I'm flying backwards, but I can't move. And, you know, I can't get out of it. It's crazy.
Yeah, I've been there too.
Are you in Rewind and you're just like
Jim Carrey?
If it was, it would be more fun. But no, it is. It's a scary experience.
So yeah, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah. Remix.
Yeah, sleep paralysis is something. You know, I'm curious to see if anyone else has a sleep paralysis story or something that someone thought that it was sleep paralysis, but it was actually something real. Something
aliens?
That, some kind of a aliens.
Aliens. Now,
why is my butt hurt?
Could you hang around some gentlemen? Some gentlemen callers? Does this smell like... Oh, what's the one he put in his face? Does this smell like not formaldehyde? What's the one that knocks you out?
Chloroform.
Does this smell like chloroform?
Does this smell like chloroform?
Except going on dates I'm like out. That. Does this smell like chloroform?
So that's all I got when it comes to... That's all comes with like my scariest... I mean, I got other stuff too, but... Yeah. That hasn't really affected me, but yeah, stuff with my family, like when my grandfather, he passed away, and he was actually a high priest in voodoo, and so my highly religious
father. I had no idea that that was something that you had in your family history. That's really interesting and kind of scary, too.
So I was in high school, man.
Mom's side, dad's side?
Oh, my dad's side. My grandfather, I never met. They told me a lot of stories about... my dad told me a lot of stories about it was always so weird. Like, he was in voodoo and all this kind of stuff. And then so when my dad was a kid, he always had bookies and always had a line coming into the apartment to get, like, you know, their not horoscopes, but, you know, get their lucky numbers and blah, blah, blah. So my dad told me a story, like, a few times. He said, yeah, he said, you know, we were poor, but we never made money on it. But my dad always helped other people make money on it. Yeah, he was a voodoo priest. So when
he said a high priest.
High priest. So he was up there.
Well,
that's no
voodoo,
joke.
Right? High priest, voodoo priest. Is that same thing, right?
If you're a high priest, that means you're like an OG when it comes to the voodoo.
So they had broken turkey necks and chicken necks, chicken feet all over the house.
Basically.
You go in the wrong drawer and it's just got like chicken beaks.
He had a crystal ball. And my dad was a religious man. He said his dad had a crystal ball so he could never lie to his dad because he would look in the ball or do something like that. This could have been lies, but I was a teenager when he told me this. It wasn't like I was five.
It wasn't a Wrinkles the Clown situation.
It wasn't Wrinkles the Clown. I was like, yeah, we used to do this stuff. He used to have these things. He used to be able to tell them what they did throughout the day. And if they were lying, he said... You know, one of the punishments his dad used to make them kneel on rice, which in itself sounds terrible.
That hurts.
I don't know. I feel like I want to try it.
I don't know. I want to try it to see. Does this really hurt?
It's probably
the equivalent of like the Legos. Like Legos. Like you step on a Lego. That's awful. Imagine kneeling on rice for a number of minutes.
I'd rather rice than a Lego. That's cutting in. But you keep saying crystal ball. I'm like, crystal ball or magic 8-ball? Which one?
Right. You're going to shake and be like, are you lying to me?
Are you lying to me, son?
Ask again later.
Ask again later. Yeah. I'm going to come back. You come back here later. And if this crystal ball says yes, that's your ass. You're going to kneel on that rice for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
No, see, kneeling on rice would not be pleasant, guys. If you got, like, you know, just sounds dry awful. Rice on bare skin, bare knees, it's going to hurt.
Worse than just gravel? I mean, rice, gravel.
I don't know, man. I might have to try that, but that's what they did, I guess, in the 50s.
So that's interesting. So if your dad was raised in that way, that's interesting that he then became a very religious man.
Yeah, you know, not in voodoo and something else, but yeah, it was weird, you know. But my dad's family has roots in Louisiana, so obviously, I guess that's kind of that's where it is. So when my grandfather passed away, he had these wishes. That, you know, the kids had to do, and you know, my dad and his sisters and his brother, they all had to do something. So my dad took me over. He said, "All right, we got these things in this white pillowcase, and I think it was like fruit and like maybe some other things and all that. So we went down to folks that are from Laurel, like, you know, right by the bridge on 216, like right past Main Street. So that bridge right there that goes into Howard County.
Yeah.
So we parked on Main Street, kind of like where Red Hot and Blue is now. We parked around there and we just held onto the sack or whatever. And then like this pillowcase, and then we just walked over to this bridge, right? We walked over to the bridge, which isn't a far walk, you know, it's like, you know, two minute walk, not far. And then just threw it over.
Did you empty the sack or did you just throw the whole sack?
No, threw the whole sack.
Okay.
And then just threw it, and it was like quiet for like, you know, it's not a super high bridge, you know, maybe it could be like 50 feet, you know.
Yeah.
And it just kind of hit the water and kind of stood there. And then, you know, Dad just walked away. And that was it. Now, fast forward, like maybe 10, 15 years later, that came up again, amongst other things, around my grandfather's funeral, which I was not a part of. He went over to New York and did all this. He had ashes and all. That was a whole other thing. So my dad told me flat out he was expecting something to happen.
Mm-hmm. He didn't know what at the moment of throwing it over the bridge, you mean?
Yeah, he was expecting something to happen. He didn't say what.
Right.
He said,
and you didn't ask
happened.
Him? You're like, well, what did you expect, Dad?
No, it was so long ago. It was in the 90s, man. I don't remember, but
oh my gosh. Said,
I do specifically remember he's waiting for something to happen. So then I was like, okay, that's weird. Why'd you bring me to this? Like, yeah. it's terrible.
Maybe it happened on the other side of the bridge because you
dropped. You didn't see it.
Yeah, maybe so, because it was dark. It wasn't during the day, and then so another part of the thing. Then he asked to be cremated, so we got cremated. So my other family that's up in New York, they had some of the ashes, and they were supposed to dump the ashes over a body of water. So they went out there, and I forgot. I think it was my aunt Val was there, and my aunt Sandra, you know, and so they dumped the ashes, and I think my father was telling me this story because she told him that. You know what, Seth? They dumped these ashes over, and they said the ashes never even touched the water. They just kind of formed into something and just flew up in the air and just went up in the sky. Like, really creepy shit, man.
That's wild.
Yeah, they say never. And this is my dad was a religious person.
Yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And so I don't think he would lie to me and tell
of
me.
Of course, I don't think he would either.
It never, yeah. He said, Seth, those ashes never even touched the water. They just kind of formed into something and just kind of just went up. Look, you could explain that away. It could have been like,
sure,
the wind come off the water. Yeah. It could have been that and just kind of flew up in the air and dissipated. You know, if you're a religious person or you're a spiritual person, then that would actually be pretty damn cool. You know, like, okay, well, that's cool. You know, the ashes are forming to something. You're flying up in the air. You know, I mean, that's cool. To me, I'm freaked out at this point.
Yeah.
And I'm just like,
yeah.
Wow, okay. So that happened.
I'm with you guys. Like, whenever something happens, like, I try to initially, like, I'm taken aback, right? And I take a moment, but then I initially try to not explain it away, but find like a legitimate reason why something would happen. Like, why did that just fly across the room? How did that fall? Why is this like, why is that door locked in your story, Sid? Like, how did those ashes go up instead of down? It was at the wind. Like, I'm always trying to, you know, like Mythbusters type thing, right?
You want to put a logical explanation.
Yeah,
first.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
But there are just some things that cannot be explained away.
You're right. And those are the big anecdotes that I have. And, you know, another one on my other side of my family is kind of like that too. And it's like one of like involving like, you know, Satan or something like that, which is.
Wait, you got that too? You get this? Wait. Whoa. Time out.
Ladies and gentlemen, I am your local warlock.
There you go. See, you're calling me a witch and then you're over here like worshiping Satan and stuff. Good grief.
Yo, this is a crazy one, too.
So
this
one side of the family is a high priest.
Voodoo.
In voodoo. And the other side of your family, see, you're the Antichrist. See, that's what it is. That's what it is.
It's not me. I just have things that happen around me.
I knew
something was wrong with you, Seth.
No, it's not me. I don't let any of that bad juju anywhere around me. This is straight up, I blame everything on sleep paralysis. That's it.
Everything is sleep paralysis.
Everything is sleep paralysis. You know, if I just sit here, it'll all go away. I'm going to wake up in the morning. I don't care if this thing's spooning me. That's all I guess.
just don't touch my butt.
you do what everyone do. You can undo these blinds. You can blow your little wind and all that. Just don't do it through my butthole, man. I'm gonna go to sleep and it's gonna be all over. The sun gonna be up. You're gonna be gone.
Oh man.
Poof.
Yeah, man. Exactly. Poof.
I had no idea you had that, and you had something else on the other side of your family. That's crazy.
Yeah. I want to hear this because these stories. We've known each other for 25, 26, 27 years. I've never heard these stories.
I know, me neither. This is
I don't share this stuff, man. I don't share this stuff. I've shared it a couple of times, but it's not worth talking about most of the time. I don't want to talk about this, but in lieu of October spooky stories, scary stuff, I gotta, so this one actually happened in 2015. So this is when my mom was sick and she was, dying from cancer and stuff. So my aunt Stephanie, she came down from New York, and we're just talking about, when you're dealing with death and imminent death, things like that, blah, blah, blah. She told me this one story too that was like, because I think I just asked her, I was like, well, did you believe in ghosts or any of this stuff? And she says, no, I don't believe in it. When your grandmother, she was passing away, I think she was going through the house, and she went inside like a side room, and she was in the room. Then on the bookcase, she said, a couple books flew off the shelf, like out of a movie type. She said they flew off the shelf, and I was like, what? She said, yeah. And so I just said a prayer, or she said. Get thee behind me, Satan.
Yep.
She said that. This is in 2015, dude.
Yeah.
She said that, and then it all stopped.
Oh yeah. And then that's all you gotta do, honestly.
And so I was like, so you don't believe it? She said, I choose not to believe it, because if you don't believe it, you don't let those things in. So it sounds like kind of oxymoron.
Yeah, and going back to what we were saying before, don't invite that stuff in.
Yeah. Yep. So exactly. She just says that. So basically it's like saying, okay, well, something's happening. You say what's going on, but don't feed into it so much because it's bad and you're going to let something in. So she said that happened. And this is a very religious person. This is 5 years ago. And she told me this. And I was like, oh, okay. Okay. So that's pretty freaky. All right. Yeah. So she said, Seth, I just choose not to believe it. If you don't believe in it, then it all goes away. And I was like, holy crap. So I was shook when she told me that story. Right. I was like, oh my God. So I guess people just don't say things unless they're really pertinent or it means something. I guess she thought it was important to tell me that, just like my dad told me later on that he was expecting something to happen when he threw that sack of randomness over the bridge.
We got some old fruit, some fruit cake.
Right.
Baguette. You got some, a baguette and some.
You got a baguette, got a lollipop, you got a blow pop in there, I got a halfway rotten banana. I'm just throwing that over there. My dad thought something's gonna happen magically. I don't know.
Wow.
But so that's all the stories I got in regards to that. They're pretty freaky now that I'm actually saying this.
They
stories.
Are freaky. I mean, you coming into this, you had mentioned like I don't really have anything to share. You definitely have a lot to share, dude.
But But you know what? It's one thing, like you were telling a story from your dad and then your aunt, right? So like when we hear stories from our parents, then it really kind of like we kind of have certain thoughts and we see things. But when our parents have these same type of scenarios happen or unfold to them, then it brings it even on stronger. Like, well, there must be something, because my dad, when he was younger, it was actually when he married my mom. They were staying at my grandmother's house in my great grandmother's house, but they were sleeping in her bed. Right. But the crazy part about that was that everything was going normal. They went to bed. Everything was cool, calm, cool, collective. My dad was freshly married, in love and everything else, but they were sleeping in my great grandmother's bed, who of course had passed away. And he said he remembered sleeping there. And then all of a sudden, just kind of waking up like you do in the middle of the night. And then he saw a figure come in through the door. And the figure walked to the foot of the bed and stood and looked over them.
Mm-hmm.
And then the figure turned back around and then walked back out.
Nope.
And mm-hmm. my dad said that that was a figure of his, you know, my mom's grandmother. So uh-huh. it, and he, you know, and he felt okay with the scenario. It wasn't like same type of situation where he wasn't fearful of the situation. Right. It was more yeah. of a series of, you know, maybe, you know, my great grandmother coming in, just checking over mm-hmm. them, seeing mm-hmm. that they're okay. And then yeah. my dad has never told me a ghost story before. You know what I mean? Like, he's not a person that believes. He's a religious guy also. He doesn't say a lot right. about that. But he'll tell you about that. He won't say if I believe in ghosts or whatever. He says, but this is what I saw. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you could take it for whatever it is. But, you know, to yeah, have exactly. that apparition come in and then for it to also look like someone he knew, you know, that's – once he said that, it really puts – more, I guess, stability to the thoughts of things that I might see, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because Absolutely. These are your parents.
Yeah. My dad,
and
my dad
telling you as an adult, not like some child.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. It's not like he's trying to tell me a spooky story. At that point, man, I think I was already like 17, 18, you know, hearing yeah. the story, you know, but it, you it's know, crazy. It hit home. So it's, to me, I believe that, there's also a veil, if you will. You know,
I was just going to say talk about the veil. Go ahead.
Yeah,
what's the veil?
Well, I just think of it as, you know, like they say, different dimensions. You know, whether there's different dimensions of us in another time, you know, continuum or whatever. But I still believe that, you know, when people die, there's a portion of them that might slightly remain. You know, which is weird because I still believe in heaven and all that kind of great stuff, mm-hmm. but. I do believe that some people stay in this little between spot and they kind of linger. But I don't even feel that to be purgatory, which is weird. And this is just how I've come to try to explain it in my life. I think it's just an area of space that you spend for time. Not that it's horrible or bad or whatever. Some people kind of just linger. Maybe they just weren't done with here and being.
It's the bus stop of death.
It could be the bus stop. You're just waiting for your number to
waiting
kinda,
for your train. You know, just kind of yeah. waiting. Like, all right, I'm gone, but I'm waiting.
Yeah.
For that train.
And then maybe the ones that are the angry ones, your bus never came. You know, so
you realize
this is it. You're stuck at Penn Station, and good luck. And your bus is never coming. And maybe they get to be a little bit more animated.
Well, another theory is that, like, you know, there's just our energies leave imprints in places, right? So there may not actually be the spirit actually there. It's just an energy remnant that's there that left an imprint or whatever.
That plays back? Or does it does it do the same thing? So we could dive into it. Does that ghost or that remain do the same thing every single time?
Well, think about other ghost stories when people are like, oh, at this old, you know, bed and breakfast, you know, you'll hear the woman doing this, that, and the other. It's they always tell the same story over and over again. So it could be some kind of continuum loop that's happening that, you know, especially if there's like a traumatic event mm-hmm. that goes on. I mean, that kind of energy leaves a ripple in this, wherever we are, this mm-hmm. this space, it definitely does. It like causes a rip in that. And again, I mean, if you can just not believe in any of this and believe in science, and you have to then believe that energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It's only transferred.
Yep.
So, I mean, pick a side either way, but there's still fundamentals of truth. And there you go.
So it might play back almost like
weird.
An echo.
Yeah, I mean, you have to at least believe in something, and if anything, you know, believe in the basic science with energy.
Yeah,
I believe in sleep paralysis.
I blame everything on Seth. Sleep paralysis.
I'll be wide awake, be like, you know what? That book flight off the shelf. That was sleep paralysis, right?
Yeah.
I'd be curious, Seth, have you ever had sleep paralysis and then not a ghost, but the fear of peeing your pants was what you were afraid of? You're like, I just got to get up and pee. I just get up, man. You got to go. And that's kind of fearful, right?
Oh, man.
Oh, my God. I am hoping that I do not get it tonight. Oh, my God. I'll be so pissed. I'm going to text both of you guys and be like, this is bullshit.
It's like one of those things that you talk about it and then it happens.
Yeah, exactly.
Just don't talk about it. It won't happen.
I think in this month we need to have another continuation, have another one, just because it is Halloween month. We have another one. He's talking about some scary stuff, you know, and see what else. You know, if there's enough time for us to record another one of these things, it'll be good to kind of talk about some other scary stuff. Like one thing I want to cover is, you know, the scary places, the urban legends, stuff like that. From our area, you know, we got the Goat Man. There's probably a Goat Man all over the United States. There's always a story going on with that. Forest Haven, we got all these other things. You know, this has been a longer podcast, but I think it's been all right. You know, it's been an hour and a half so far. But we should probably just do a continuation and just see what's going on. And we want to hear what you guys have to say.
Yes, please tell us your scary stories.
Oh, yeah, I'm all about hearing the scary stories.
Yeah, send in pictures with you scared in your onesie. I want to see those.
tell us your stories. Tell us what you believe. Do you believe in ghosts? Do you not believe in ghosts? Have you had a paranormal experience? Have you not had a paranormal experience? I mean, we would love to hear what you guys have, you know, witnessed or been through.
Maybe a picture with a ghost. Little makeout session, little ghost makeout session.
No.
No one's making out with ghosts? Okay.
Well, if I'm lucky in my sleep paralysis tonight, I'm going to make out with something.
There you go.
Hey, y'all. I want to give a shout out. I'm gonna give one shout out to another podcast. It's called Scared to Death. It's by Dan Cummins. It actually talks about a lot of the stuff that we actually talked about. But the cool thing about it is that listeners actually send in their stories. They email in. If you're interested in Scared to Death podcast, you can type that in Apple. Blah 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 blah. Listen to that, and it has a lot of stuff that all of us, Sid, me, Sid, Colleen, we talked about. It has touch on that, but the real people, real stories. It's Dan and his wife. His wife's name is Lindsay. She's super scared about stuff. She has her little protection blankets, her little dumbass crystals.
I'm going to give a shout out to blankets. Yeah,
blankets are safety. Are you kidding me?
They are. I know.
I've been saving kids since 1983. Blankets work, son.
Exactly.
Right? The blanket's been helping me out. Except that one time I had sleep paralysis and I left my foot out exposed.
See, the blanket was not protecting your foot.
I don't think I've ever seen a person die in a scary movie that got covered up by a blanket. Son.
Exactly.
It's a shield. When they do get fucked up, excuse my language, it's when they pull it off.
Exactly.
Guess what?
That's a goddamn.
We need to reach out to Johnny Depp and see how he survived.
Ooh. Yeah, I know. Ice. Are you okay?
A lot of ice. Ice. Just therapy. That's my guess.
Oh, man. So, you guys got anything else you want to say before we get out of here?
Yes. Because I keep feeding you movies to watch, Seth Spears, and you keep faking the funk. All right.
I got my pen out. I'm going to write it down now. I promise. And then I will have a follow-up. And I promise, listeners, I will...
We're going to need a
watch
follow-up.
A movie, and I will say how sugar I am. No matter what the month is, if it's November, October, whatever, I will follow up just so you guys can see how shook I am.
So you got two on the list, Witch, Heredity, and what else?
Oh, yeah. And so, you know, yeah. So those are the two. There's one actually based on a true story because we like to talk about this. I was going to bring out the whole point when we were talking about Ouija boards, because this story has a little bit to do with that Ouija board, but it's called Veronica.
I haven't heard of this.
Right, I know. It's a Spanish flick. It came out in 2017, I think it was. Yes.
Okay, so it's new.
Spears, very good. This was one that really kind of got going a lot quicker than watching like a Heredity or a Witch, right?
Okay. Gotcha,
this one
gotcha.
Has one, it's kind of flows
like
a little 20
bit. Minutes in, it's like, okay.
Oh, yeah, you can already start feeling it, start to happen, you know. And
so what is it on the blanket scale?
Man, I'd put it easily at three blankets and two snuggies.
Oh.
Jesus. Okay.
Okay, so I can't watch that alone, obviously. Now, really quickly, where are you finding it? Are you finding it on streaming, like on Netflix or Prime, or where is it at?
Let's see. That's a good question. Maybe it's on Netflix. It's been a little bit since I've seen it. but on Hulu? No.
So give me your rating on Heredity on the blanket scale.
It's on Netflix.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, it's on Netflix.
He wants your blanket rating on Heredity.
Yeah. I give it five blankets. Five blankets. No snuggies.
Yes. I would give it five blankets as well. No snuggie.
Yeah.
What about The Witch? Blanket
The Witch,
scale.
Definitely. I put that on par with, I'd say.
Five blankets.
Yeah, five blankets. Five blankets.
So this Veronica one is blankets and snuggies. Wow.
Yes. I thought Veronica had me scared. I thought The Witch and Hereditary had me more like, oh, you know, like you could feel it, like, oh God.
As soon as like the scary sound comes in, and you get like the quick little vision, and they're like,
what did I just watch? You want to cover your face, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But with Veronica, it made you afraid of your house. You know, that kind of feeling?
Oh, well,
you know,
I'm not watching that.
Like, just like The Ring.
Wait, pause, because neither one of you have a Ouija board in the house, so don't worry. Okay.
No.
Still, if it's like you said, I'm gonna be afraid to be in a house. I mean, I'm alone.
I'm in a house. So I'm already halfway there. I'm in a fucking house.
But you're not in the basement, right?
What?
Is you're not in the basement. So it's one, you don't want to go in the basement after you watch it. Just stay upstairs until the sun rises, and then you're good to go. You're clear.
Oh God! Why are you gonna say? You know what?
Okay, I'm not watching it.
Yeah, that's okay. So that's not happening now. Five blankets with three. Yeah.
Okay, listeners, why don't you guys watch this movie and then let us know what you think and join in the fun and tell us your rating on the blanket scale.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, please. I want to hear this because this Veronica sounds like I'm going to be in this
fetal
onesie
position
that I have on underneath the covers.
In a fetal position.
Yeah, it's in a fetal position. I don't care how much my balls smell. This shit's going to be hot ass.
Do you put your face in your balls in fetal position? Are you that flexible? Man, you've been doing yoga. Man.
These onesies are hot, bro.
Oh, man.
And on that note,
yeah.
It's time to go.
Oh God!
All right, guys. All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for listening. Please send us emails. If you want to hear some more of these stories, maybe we can cram one in before the end of the month. Please send something in. It doesn't even, you don't have to be this month. It can be any time. Send it in. We'll make sure to get back. We read all of your emails, so please send them on in. Thanks to Sid for joining us tonight. It was really good.
Thank you, friend.
Very much. Can I give one shout out to another
show
that's in progress? If you get the time, it's on YouTube. It's called Hijinks at Naptime. That's me and Megan.
Nice.
Me and Megan, my PIC. Yeah. Of course, a little hijinks at Naptime. So.
All right, cool. You got anything else? You got a Twitter? You got anything else? Or just on YouTube?
No social media over here, buddy.
All right, sounds good.
You see us what you get.
Well, you can come back and then talk with us another time about pranks, because that sounds like that kind of goes into that vein.
Oh, yeah. 100%, 100%. I had a good time with you guys, man. I appreciate you guys for inviting me on.
Yeah, Absolutely. Man. Good time. So, everybody, thank you so much for listening, and please don't forget to subscribe to our show so you don't miss any episodes. If you have a question, a comment, or an episode idea, or if you just want to drop a line and say hello, please send us an email at aircandypodcast@gmail.com. And you can also find us on Facebook and Insta. So hit us up wherever you may choose, because we want to connect with you. And until next time, peace.
Peace.